Okay, before we begin, I want to clarify something that we had a heated discussion about yesterday about a sumah. If Rachman Litzlan is a sumah allowed to go out with a stick? Karabaisa, please let's be. So we learned yesterday that a sumah, the person who is not stable. Let's first, the person in the Baruch Hashem has good eyesight, but he's scared to walk, he's afraid that he's going to fall. So we learned yesterday the halacha is that if at home, the person does not really need the stick, a cane. He can walk without the cane. It's just that the cane provides added security, added comfort. But if he's very careful, he can go around without a cane. Such a person is not allowed to use a cane in the street. But if a person assesses that he really needs the cane, he needs the cane for his balance. It's not just a matter of added benefit, but it's absolutely necessary not to fall. It becomes an extension of his body. It's like crutches or whatever the situation is, and then it's mutar lechatchila to use the cane in the street on Shabbat. It's not called carrying. It becomes his third leg. That is what we learned yesterday. Then we learned about a suma. If a person, Rachman Lestan, is blind, same thing. A walker is exactly like a cane. If a person cannot get around without a walker, he's allowed to use the walker in the street. 100%. A person can even use a wheelchair, can wheel himself. The only problem is the wheelchair is more complex because many times a person needs assistance with the wheelchair, especially if not every curb is perfect. There are some, you know, if you know your way around, right, you know your way around, so you can get from place to place without any assistance. Especially if the shul, you can just go right into the shul, or the shul has a ramp. Ramps are not so easy to go up a ramp. You see people that try to, you can't go up a ramp yourself. You need someone to help you up the ramp. You have to push up the ramp. So those situations are a little more complex.
Did you talk about the idea of a guide pushing
somebody? Yes, we did. And the end, we discussed that the minig ha'olam is to be makel. 100%, even though it's not so simple, because even for it's Amir Liakum, if you have a wheel or a Shusram deraisa, telling a guy to wheel someone in a wheelchair is Amir Liakum. So, but the halach is it's mutter because we makel. First of all, we don't really hold 100% that we have a Rosh Hashanah. There are many coolest, so it's only a shvus to shvus. And if, especially if you tell the guy to do it before Shabbos, so it's, I mean, you're telling him to do the melacha, you're not telling him to do the melacha on Shabbos itself. And when you combine that with the fact that it's a little dvar mitzvah, and it's also necessary for a person's health to be locked in, not to have social activity, interaction with other people, not to be able to go out, is also part of a person's health. So all of these things come together to as a reason why halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh, there is no issue whatsoever, and a guy is, and I'm not saying there's no issue, I'm not going to say that people don't do it, but you've never heard a rav telling a balabas that you can't have a non-Jew help you with the wheelchair in the street. If you want to be machmir, you can definitely find a reason to be machmir because of the chashad that it's a reshus haram deraisa, and a mil yakum is aser. Even though it's the tzarch mitzvah is not always an excuse. It's not always, you can daven at home. You don't have to daven in shul. It's not always an excuse. But again, that chumrah is very, very rarely used. More often than not, 99%, you'll even see very choshev rabbanim and Rosh Yeshiva that have, when they are not able to walk, have non-Jews help them with a wheelchair. Okay, now let's go to this. Then we discussed a sumah. We're discussing a sumah that can walk. He can walk, he has no problem walking whatsoever. The only problem is he's not familiar with the environment at home where everything is set up according to his liking. He's able to navigate without any problem, without any stick whatsoever. Now he wants to use a special walking stick when he goes into the street. He is familiar with the surroundings somewhat, but he still needs the stick in order to, the walking stick in order to allow him to go back and forth. So we learned yesterday in Kitz Shulchan Aruch that it is aser. Because the mashal I gave you, it's no different than a person, it's dark at night and you can't see, so you'll take with you a flashlight. The flashlight was turned on before Shabbos, so what am I doing wrong? It's not an excuse. I'm not talking about zilzal, because zilzal is arbitrary. Zilzal is something which you can see. It's not as zilzal. Let's talk strict halacha. So we learn in the Kitz Shulchan Aruch that since the person can walk, and the only reason why he's taking the stick is in order to give him access to a place, that's no different than a healthy person that also would like to, also that can also walk around and just he wants to carry something which will make it easier for him to go around. So we learn in the Kishuch Melech that it is 100% usur for a person who is blind to use a walking stick. So let me read you. I went back yesterday. Some people were very upset with this halacha. I thought it was a little bit extreme. So I went back to Rabbi Riviat Sefer, and indeed he says there to look in the Mishnah Berurah. I thought he said in the Mishnah Berurah, it's not in the Mishnah Berurah, it's in the Ber Heitev. Maybe that's what he meant there in the footnotes. And he says, indeed, there are poskim that are makel. But let me read you exactly what it says here in Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, and in the Be'er Heitev. The Mishnah Berurah, the Mechaber says, in Simon Shin Alf, Chel Gimel in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Hilcha Shabbos, in Simon Shin Alf, Sif Katon Yud Ches, Suma, Osir lo lotzeis b'makel. No ands, if buts, no excuse, no exceptions. A suma is not allowed to use a walking stick on Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah, ois katan samaches. He says, Mishnah Berurah, hainu chutz le'er. Of course, we're discussing outside of the air. That goes without saying. The hatam. What is the reason? The etzem halichosoy efshel lo le'elch b'loy makel. The sfar that we said yesterday. Because a suma does not need a stick to walk. He can walk perfectly fine. It's much worse than the case of a person, a zaken, who is weak on his feet. When a person, a zaken, is weak on his feet, then the makel becomes the third leg. The walking stick is not a leg. It's just a chefza. The einoy noitla, he's only taking this in his hands, ela liyasher pisiyosav, in order to make his steps straight. So therefore, it's viewed as a masa. It's viewed as a tool, an implement that has been carried by the person. It's not part of his guf. It's not like a zaken who is shaking on his feet. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah concludes it is asur. He does not say anything more than this. He just paskens that it's the bechaber. He gives the swara and he ends it with that. However, there is here a little letters in another parentheses in Rashi letters, which tells you to take a look at the Be'er Heitev. The Chavetz Chaim, he put on the page the Be'er Heitev and the Shari Tshuva. He felt that these are two paiskim which are very relevant. And unfortunately, when you learn Mishnah Berurah, very rarely do people even bother to take a look what it says in the Be'er Heitev and the Shari Tshuva. So here he quotes the Be'er Heitev. Be'er Heitev says, "B'makel kevin shi'ochel leilich b'loy makel." Period. Then he goes on to say, "Uzikenim shemin na'anim gufam asurim lotzeis b'makelos zaken that whose body shakes." Asurim lotzeis b'maklois kidei leilich derech yashar. No, he doesn't really say anything different. He says the same thing. Give me 1 second. I thought I read it wrong. A zokain that shakes a little bit are also not allowed to use a walking stick. Aval im hizkin, if the person is elderly, kol kach shei efshar leilich zula samakel motu lotzeis bo. Then it's mutter. That's a zaki, not a suma. Then he goes on to talk about using a makel for as a tachshit. Upashit mashin oagu hachashuv leilach makel shabiyad masum losses by mshabes of makom sheish erev. Okay, that's something else altogether. Zulz we discussed yesterday. Of course, So the Berei Teva says the same thing. So where did I see? He said they are cholkim. Let me just see. Maybe I don't know why I thought I read it very quickly. There's one other. There's Ois Gimel B'makel. I'm there. Heitev Shari Tshuva Magen Avram. Kol Zul Yashar Shukosa Yotzim B'Kisei. Okay, no, Shari Tshuva is the same thing. So I don't know where I saw this. Not in the Ber Halacha, maybe? No.
Seeing eye do. Came blind. Seeing eye do. Came to shore. Seeing eye do.
All right, so listen, this is what he says. I don't see anything otherwise. No, he says, in the footnotes he says there are yesh cholkim that say that a sumah can't take a walking stick. So it must be that I just looked at the reference to the Mishnah Berurah. I thought he said, if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, I made a mistake. I don't know what he was referring to. But remember, Riviat Sefer, he says that it's Aser, and then in the footnote he lists there, he says there are some that say a sumah is allowed to take the walking stick. And he says, look in the footnotes, and the footnotes he quotes the Mishnah Berurah, which clearly says that it's also, he doesn't make any exception. And it could be there are other poskim that say that they do say that a person who's completely blind, so then the walking stick for him is a third leg. Okay, I guess that's the svara.
Isn't it sakana with that?
So it is sakana, so you don't go out. Don't go out. Stay home. Is it a sakana for a person who's a healthy person to go out in the middle of the night without a flashlight, without any lights? It's sakana. So what you can say? So since I can't go outside, so I'm allowed to go carry with me a flashlight that was turned on before Shabbos. It's ridiculous. You're not allowed to go out with a flashlight before Shabbos. So don't go out. There's a halacha. The halacha is you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So why are you taking a flashlight so I can see where I'm going? So the flashlight now becomes an extension of my body because I can't go out without the flashlight? That svara obviously is not acceptable. You know what I'm saying? So Suma is a healthy person. He can walk around fine. He needs a cane. The same way that he needs a cane is the way a regular person needs a flashlight.
No, but if the people, I would make the parallel to the elderly individual. So I'm also not going out.
No, the Zaken can't walk. The Zaken is deficient. He's lacking something that a regular person has. A regular person has feet. So you want to suggest your car that has eyes. So it seems that's what Rabbi Riviati is quoting from other places. Other places want to say what you're saying is that just like a regular person has feet, has eyes, so the Suma, the stick, are his eyes. It's making up for a natural deficiency. It's not something which is extra. It's not a bonus. That's what he says. He does say that. I looked very quickly yesterday, so I must have misquoted. But the Mishnah Berurah does not make any exception. He quotes them in the Mechaber, and the Mishnah Berurah elaborates, and the Be'er Heitev says exactly the same thing. And the Be'er Halacha doesn't say anything about this. He talks about a Zakein who is weak on his feet. But he does quote other Poskim that say, like what the Svadi is trying to suggest, is that the lack of eyesight can be replaced with a stick. So the stick becomes an extension of the body, and the Suma would be allowed to go into the street with a walking stick. Okay, we'll leave it with that. Yeah.
I mentioned here, somebody said that other shows have the experience of a blind person having seen eyeballs.
Yes, we discussed that yesterday. We discussed that yesterday. So for the person himself, it's mutter. It's definitely mutter. He's not doing anything. What is he doing? Muksa? Because he's moving, it's not even muksa. The dog is carrying itself. What? It's not on a droop. The leash.
Why is the leash better than the stick?
The leash. You're not carrying the leash. The dog. You have to. The handle is not allowed to droop. If the handle droops below 3 tefachim, then it's a problem. Even walking a dog. Are you allowed to walk your dog on Shabbos in a place where there is no erev? Maker hadin, yes. You are allowed to walk your dog, but you have to have a very short leash. You're not allowed to have the leash droop on the floor. Then you are me'ikr hadin alav. Rav Moshe says it's not a very good idea. There are other problems. There's muksa, and there's maris ayin, and the leash can very easily fall on the floor. So there are problems walking a dog on Shabbos, but Rav Moshe says you're not supposed to make a machah. If you see someone, a neighbor, that is walking his dog on Shabbos, don't say anything. Me'ikr hadin, there's no prohibition in walking a dog on Shabbos. You're not allowed to touch a dog. You're not allowed to touch a dog. Touching a dog is muksa. An animal on Shabbos is muksa. You're allowed to feed it. You can put food in front of it, but you're not allowed to touch it. Walking, what?
Even with a glove on?
Even with a it's a matter of movement. It's not a matter of touching muksa. You're allowed to touch muksa. You're not allowed to move muksa. So if you put a glove on, you don't need a glove. You can touch muksa. You're allowed to touch a hammer on a table. You're not allowed to move the hammer on the table. The issue of muksa is movement. So by pushing the dog or causing the dog to move, that's muksa.
You can't put the leash on.
The leash on in a chanam. The leash would have to be on before Shabbos. Is that? I don't have a dog, so I don't know how it works. Putting the leash on, so how are you going to put the leash on? I don't know the answer. I don't know. Maybe the dog, I don't know. Maybe it was there before. I don't know. Okay, but this is a seeing eye dog is mutter. Says that a rivyad says that beferish. Seeing eye dog is the only thing with seeing eye dog is if there is a rib, the leash has to be a very short leash. It should not droop on the floor when you walk with the dog. And the dog will basically pull you along, or you get a sense what the dog is, and that's not considered to be a significant. It's not even muksa really for this is what he needs. This is a klish shemalachta. It turns into a klish shemalachta liyaser leheder. All right, let's go. We'll go ahead. I want to finish up this halachas. We have only a few more to do. We're up to halacha yud. Then I want to discuss a few more modern questions from Rabbi Riviat Sefer. Halacha yud gimel. That's I believe what we're up to. Ushtei chaguro zo al gav zo, page kuf nun tes, the second to last page. Right, so we discussed the garatel already. We discussed Rav Moshe and other places. But let's see. Ushtei chaguro zo al gav zo. Imining amokam lachkor kach imelamata chagura garua. The meaning of Mokam is to wear two belts, to wear a weak belt underneath to keep your undergarments up, and then on top of that to have a strong belt. And the only need one. And the only reason why you're taking out another belt is because you want to bring it to shul for your friend that's whose belt has broken. It's mutter. Because since occasionally, or since it's derech malbush, people do wear two belts in this situation. So now what you're doing is not unusual. It's also considered to be in society a malbush, and it's mutter. Aval im ein haderech lachor b'shtei chaguros, afal pi shehu roitze lachor kein b'shul atzma. Even if you want to wear for yourself, forget about your friend. The reason why I want to wear two belts is because I need two belts. Keep my pants up. No, it is also. It's not the derech. The kevin sheyesh lo yidai b'achas. And they're saying, I take it back. It's sufficient since you really don't need it. The second one is not accomplishing anything. Dai b'achas. Havei hashniya k'moy maso mikol mokum mutu lot says b'shtech aguros k'sheyesh malbush mafsig b'nei. But if you wear the belt in a way where the second belt is also accomplishing something. In other words, you wear the belt on top of your jacket, like we discussed with the garatel. Look, even according to Rav Moshe that holds that a garatel is not called a malbush, and a gartel may not be worn on Shabbos. That's only when the gartel is worn under your jacket. It's not doing anything more than what your belt is doing. But if you wear the gartel on top of your jacket, then it's keeping your jacket in place. Then it's mutgun tachtoina al hamechnasayim. The lower one is on the pants. The liyon al gavya sarbel is upon the jacket. Shaoz yesh by hando. Then indeed it is mutter. Wearing a belt and suspenders, most poskim say is osur, unless you really need it. Unless you really need both, you need for some people they need suspenders and a belt. But if you don't need both, one normally can do the job without the other. Wearing the two together is a masa, either for the suspenders or for the belt. It's not the derech in society today to wear both suspenders and a belt. Halacha yudal mitpachas shemekanchem boya saaf, a handkerchief. You wrap it around your shoulder. You use it as a scarf. Now, this is the difference between ancient times and today. See, this Rabbi is fascinating story from Rabbi Rakefet. Well, he says something that's very bizarre. You have a handkerchief. How are you allowed to wear the handkerchief? You tie it around your neck. Since when did you see a handkerchief that you can tie around your neck? This is a European handkerchief. In America, they don't have this. This doesn't exist. Who was the Rav of America? The chief rabbi of New York, Rabbi Yankov Yosef. When he came to America, when he gave his first public speech, he had a handkerchief. He had a European handkerchief. And he, if I'm not making a mistake, I believe it was Rabbi Yankov Yosef, and he took it off and he wiped his nose, and they didn't like it. The Balabatim didn't like it because this was a difference of culture. Rabbi Kefet has a whole shiur just on this event, because in America already at that time. This type of handkerchief was not used. A handkerchief was a very small object that's clean, perfectly clean, and you only use it more than once or twice. And after you wipe your nose with it once or twice, it goes in the laundry or it's never used again. In Europe, that's not the way they had handkerchiefs. They had scarves that were made from shmatis. They weren't very pretty. They were colorful. And they were worn around your neck. And they were like rags. But that's the way it was. It was very common. And when he came to America and he spoke publicly, he every so often he took off this rag and he used it to wipe his nose. And the people, the Balabatim of America, did not like it. They were not used to this. And this created already a distance between him and the Balabatim. No, but that was, so he explains that story illustrated a much greater difference. It was a cultural gap between the Balabatim and the Roth. But here he this is what he's talking about. He's talking about these type of old handkerchiefs, and they would wrap it around their neck. So in this instance, it's actually doing you a service. It is serving a function, and that's why it is mutter. So we put around your neck, don't make a double knot, because a double knot is also, even though your kavanah is and you're going to open up within 24 hours, you're not going to make a double knot. The rule of thumb, as far as making knots, as far as tying your shoes, this goes back to tying shoes, is, are you able to open up the knot by pulling the string? In other words, if you have, you think about your shoes, if you tie a bow, you tie a single knot, that's nothing, it falls apart. If you then tie a bow on top of a single knot, it's in place. If you want to open up your shoes, what do you have to do? Just take one shoelace and pull it, and it comes out. But if you then make a double knot, you tie a double bow, can you open up a double bow by just pulling one cord? No, even though it's very weak, a double bow is not so tight. See, people, they don't understand this. They will argue with you. What's so terrible with making a double bow? Anyway, by the time I get to shul, I'll have to retie my shoelaces. So it's not a kesher shel kayama, because by the time, because it's my shoelaces are thick and it's going to open up. And I'm not. And when you add to the equation the fact that I'm not planning on keeping my shoelaces tied for more than 24 hours, so you have two reasons why it should not be considered making a kesher on Shabbos. It's weak. It's naturally going to open up on its own within a short period of time. And I'm not having kavanah that it should last for 24 hours. So why can't I do it? The answer is because until it opens up by itself, the only way that you can open up this double bow is by actually undoing what you did. You can't pull one string and have it open up by itself. That automatically in halacha midrabanan gives it a degree of keva, of permanence, and it's aser. So saying that you have a scarf and you go tie a double knot around your neck, by definition, even though you're not going to have the scarf around your neck for the entire day, it's going to be there for less than 24 hours, the only way you can open up that double knot is by opening up the double knot with your hands. That already becomes aser midrabanan.
That would include then making a necktie, that there are certain...
Right, so necktie,
but they have people make a double B.
Oh, very good. That's a very important point. So when it comes to a necktie, so why are you allowed to make a necktie on Shabbos? Why is that called kesher shel kayama? Same principle, because all you got to do is pull. The more you pull, and it comes out. But if you were to make your necktie in a way where you cannot just pull it, or you make a certain types of bow ties, there's a whole art to a bow tie. Someone told me he wore a bow tie and he was going to an event and he spent it. He went in the car, he had to go to a bow tie event. And he didn't have a bow tie. He's a Shiva guy, but he has to wear a bow tie for this affair. So he left work. On the way home from work, he went into a department store, he bought a bow tie, and he got into a car service, and the trip was an hour. And the whole trip, he was sitting with his smartphone, watching a YouTube video, how to make a bow tie. And finally, after an hour watching the YouTube video, just in the nick of time, he had his bow tie on. So there are different ways to make bow ties. There are simple ways and there are more elaborate ways. And in the way which you can't undo it just by pulling out, indeed, that would be also on Shabbos. You just got to get the yeshivish ones you clip on. You clip them on and that's enough. Okay, so here it says to be careful not to make a double. Which he calls over here, I guess these are suspenders. Yes, see, anyone know what that word is? Hoizen. What is that?
Okay.
You mean suspenders?
Pants
strings?
Pants carrier.
Okay, you assume a Shabbos. Kidei should hey loy ham namit pachas litzarich. The Yerushalmim who know lister ritzuos and machzikos and mosaim yasim shabbos. Kidei should hey loy ham mit pachas litzarich. I'm not sure what that means. I don't know what that means. I really don't know what this means. Kidei shetehiloi hamit pachas litzarech v'yesh tehagim lekorcha savat savar. Some have the custom to tie the kerchief around the neck. Ze einay muter elo im ein shamit pachas acheres. Some want to tie around the neck. That he holds is not an ideal thing to take the handkerchief and wrap it around the neck. It's not an ideal thing unless you have no other choice. V'ragel upon lekorcha shamit pachas im neakar v'yakshir beheter. The only time you can do this is if any way you do it. Your kavan is not to carry a handkerchief. Your kavan is you want to protect yourself from the cold. It's a scarf. Then you're wearing it as a scarf. It becomes a malbush. So now
absorb sweat.
Absorb sweat. So then it's a malbush. Then it's mud. Aval im nois no rak ala tzaver ve'ak tzavos tuliyos lo lefanof. If you're only putting it around your neck in order as a technique, in order to carry it to shul, you want a handkerchief in shul to use to have a cold to wipe your nose, and you're just wrapping around your neck, and you're now using it in any way to serve as protection from the cold or to absorb sweat or to as a malbush. Ze isur gomer. V'chein lekar chasav haregel. If you want to wrap it around your foot, osav hayad v'lotz. To wrap it around your hand, and it's not a derech malbush. There has to be a derech malbush, and you want to make use of this subterfuge. I want to really carry this handkerchief to use in shul in order to clear my nose and my throat. I'm going to wear it around my body. It has to be worn around the body in the street as a real malbush. If it's not being worn as a real malbush, then it is problematic. Now, what about putting it? Let's just do a few, and then we'll go back to halacha. Bata yodayim. Now, what is this word over here?
Gloves.
Yesh matim lotzes. We discussed this. What's the reason why it's us? Because you may come to take it off. That's the only reason. Otherwise, there is no prohibition wearing glove mikar hadin because it's a malbush. It's keeping your hands warm. It's 100% mutter. Oh, but you may come there when you might meet your friend. You want to give him a good Shabbos, so you'll take off your gloves. That's the only concern. How can you easily avoid that concern? It may look a little bit funny. Clips. Exactly. That's the place to say that the ideal thing, you want to wear gloves, so they have some type of clip that will be a reminder to you or some technique that you can't take it off. What?
Kids' gloves.
Children's gloves, but those gloves are meant to hang loose. Here, the clip has to be that you have to take off the clip in order to take off the glove. Children's mitts,
they have gloves that are on the string
on the street,
that go
through your sleeve,
around your neck, through the coat, and when you take off the glove, it just hangs down on the string. So it would never. It's not a clip. It's just tied
permanently. It's to the coat, like a hood. It's like a hood on a coat. Okay, so that.
If you shake somebody's hand, you're not walking for. I'm walking just.
You may forget. It's all part of the process. You'll take it off, and in the process, you'll come. You'll walk with the glove. Dalai Lama. No different than jewelry. You have the same exact problem with jewelry. Why are women meikar hadin not allowed to wear jewelry? They'll meet one of their friends on Shabbos. They'll say, "Wow, what a beautiful necklace! What a beautiful thing you have!" Oh, you want to see it? Oh, I'll take it off. You'll take off. You'll show the earring or the necklace. So you have the same question. So what are you doing wrong? You already stopped. You already have made a hanoch in the Rishus Sarabim. You might continue in the conversation. You might walk with her, so then you'll go and you'll take off your gloves, take a Shabbos, and then you'll continue to walk. So as long as you do something, a technique that is done in a way where the gloves will not fall off, it will be a reminder to you not take off the gloves. Then it becomes mutar lechatchila to wear gloves on Shabbos. You don't shake your hand. You don't shake hands. Today people definitely, today in today's day and age, people definitely, they shake hands less because of germs. We're much more sensitive to the environment. People today don't kiss mezuzahs anymore. Because the mezuzah is just a tie. Supposed to put your hand on the mezuzah. They're different. So you put your hand on the mezuzah. Even there was some rabbanim years ago, they said, "Don't touch the mezuzah." There's no halach. You have to kiss. Why you have to go put the mezuzah in your mouth? Everyone touches the mezuzah. I told you many times. In Eretz Yisrael, they change the siddurim, the kosel, every 3 months. Every 3 months, all of the siddurim of the kosel expire because they found there are more germs. They claim that they used to change every 6 months. And then they did testing on Sidurim, and they found that there are more germs in the Sidurim, in the coastal, than there are in the toilets, in the dirtiest facilities and areas shown in the world. That's how dangerous a sitter is in Eretz Yisrael. You go to the Kosel. Good point. You're right. You're right. It's not just being worn out. The issue is now you go to sitters, the germs.
People use their wet finger.
Right. It's a very serious matter. Why is the Kosel different than going to Landau's? You're right. Again, it doesn't have to be worn out. The sedum today are made where they don't get worn out so fast. The bonding and the paper is a very high quality. They make it where it doesn't get worn out. But you don't realize how many people have touched it. And you touch it, you don't realize the next thing, who knows what's going to happen. So therefore, even a good sitter that really looks robust and is well bound, they claim, I read on the website, is that after 3 months, that's the policy, they have a chesron of the sedum, they expire them. They retire them because of the germs. Okay, so today people are much more sensitive to this. People don't shake hands much. Okay, let's go for further. V'yesh, isur v'yesh 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 v'zeh hasu l'cham m'shtei yadayim b'yachad a muff. Yesh lakal tvei. But if you have a muff, muffs are, why a muff's better? I don't know why muffs are better. V'yesh v'zeh hasu l'cham m'shtei yadayim b'yachad.
It's always attached to the other. You don't pull both hands.
I mean, it's something that has both hands together in one thing? Oh, I don't know that. I never saw one. Okay, I never saw this. So he says that's yesh lakotay. Okay, but Medi Paiskim. Okay, let's see over here. The Shi'arim Mishra Malacha. This, we're really in the middle. I just ran out of the print. Let's go to...
What about Moshe?
Moshe's influence. Moshe says about a Yare Shemayim. A Yare Shemayim should be mach because he may come to carry. Right? Moshe's machmer. Moshe was machmer. Today they vary against putting hands in the pocket. Today it's a Hasidic thing. Never put your hands in the pocket. It's not because you're putting your hand is coming close to parts of the body that should not be touched.
Right.
So today by Hasidim they don't like
the other sleeve.
They don't like putting
the coat pockets.
Back pockets. Okay.
Put their hands in other people's.
All right. Let's look at the Shi'arim Mitzvah Mahalacha.
What about Ian?
What? 100% mutter. Earmuffs. Riviat says whether they look like earphones or whether they go all the way around your head, all types of earmuffs are 100% mutter. Earmuffs. What?
Because you don't take them off.
He says without any restriction, he writes even there in the sefer whether they look like the headphones. He uses those words.
Right.
Just those little things around the ear, or like the more yeshivshu ones, where it's a piece of cloth, which goes all the way around your neck. All type of earmuffs are mutter to be worn on Shabbos. Let's see the Shemes of Halacha. Hey, im ein sham mit pachas acheres. If you don't have another handkerchief, ein chayadam shekichich lahachmir behoitzas mit pachas al tzavar. He doesn't like allowing people to use a handkerchief around your neck. People did this, so it was very common. Take handkerchiefs. I remember someone I grew up, he used to always come to shul with a handkerchief around his neck. I still don't understand why he did that. He really needed the handkerchief, only a few blocks.
They do it to show that
a lot of people did that.
What?
Show that they don't
hope
from the
neighbors.
That's
why he did it. He wasn't so sophisticated, this person. I don't know. He always came with hair around his neck. It's very cold outside. That's what you do. Extra layers of protection. You wear. I know people that don't wear a coat even in the winter. People like this today. They don't own a coat. I know one person, he does not own a coat. He wears a scarf and gloves. The coldest day in the winter.
Is he an overweight person?
What? Yes, he is.
That's why.
He's overweight, yes.
He's insulated.
He told me, I don't own a coat. Yeah. I don't own a coat.
But like Ben gets to get sick every few weeks.
gloves and a scarf. Gloves and a scarf. That's it. Shemasi moysalat tzav aim is the isakevin jazodech malbush kishgeish ruach aykivus bevuchutz vim yesh loy kvar mitpachas al tzav. We come up with nothing mitzina. Shu zakonis nefashas lepame masim kama mitpachas al tzav. Sometimes when it's very cold outside, that's the custom. It's not they people put multiple layers, multiple handkerchiefs around their neck in order to protect them from that part of the body. Everyone has a sensitive part of the body. Some people, they only get cold on their neck. Some people, their heads get cold. Some people, their feet get cold. Everyone is sensitive, different part of their body they're sensitive to. What?
A mask.
A ski mask. The ayin b'shot levushim Mordechai shasham rabbi b'shem rabbi chasam sefer shnog b'chutz le'erev kimedumali shekorach hamatpachas le'achar lachar yadoi. He wrapped a matpachas on the back of his hand. Okay, which the kitzur says is aser. It says that he heard the chasam sofer that you're allowed to do this. V'gila taimo mishum d'havi oitzo shaloi kidarkoi ve'ein erak midrabanon or mishum kovet habriyos. Unbelievable what he's combining here together. Matirim de'be'emes sorach mo'od kam pam b'bnei adam l'knoiz tzedodei hachaitem shaloi yeh nimas b'ein habriyos v'godlu kovet habriyos ad kan l'shem ayin sham. The Levushei Mordechai says an incredible chiddush. You have a situation where you don't have a reshus harabim do'ai raisa. Okay, that's number one. No chshash. Let's go out of town, out of Brooklyn, out of New York City. You're in an area where there's definitely not a reshus haram d'oraisa, and you want to take the shul a handkerchief, and it's a hot summer day. Well, that's not a good thing. You'll tell me it's for sweat. Okay, it's a nice spring day. It's not too cold, not too hot. There's no sweat around your neck, and it's not too cold. But I must bring with me a handkerchief to the Beis HaKnesses. So he says, you can do it. Wrap it around your hand. How can I wrap it around my hand? I'm carrying in a karmelis combination. It's only a karmel. It's not a deraisa. And it's shaloi kederech. I'm not carrying. That's not the way you carry. You hold it in. You wrap around your hand shaloi kederech. And it's why you need a handkerchief. Covered habrios. What would you rather have? I should wipe my hand with my nose with my hand, or should I should spread my germs to all the people in the Beis HaKnesses, or should I have I should in a respectable way clean up after myself? Godol covered habrios. So when you combine all of these factors together, covered habrios, it's a karmelis. You are carrying shaloi kederech. It's mutter. That's what he says today.
Around your belt.
Is it a malbush? That would be shalei kederech. That if you want, that's going to be the shalei kederech. If you want to go with this sort of shalei kederech, then luchar, yeah, belt
well,
would also be shalei kederech.
Make a belt out of handkerchiefs. They tie it about yes. Three or four. But the thing that what Rav Moshe got upset about, people used to wear in the 50s. I know people. A lot of people. You saw the average man walk on the street had a handkerchief around his neck.
Right.
Where things got out of hand, so to speak, is people were tying their keys onto the handkerchief.
Okay.
That's where he thought it was a problem.
That's already too much. That's because that's not the devil. That's not utility.
Yeah, they were making shtick.
Okay. Now, okay, next. Right. So today, different style, right? Today, this is the most popular tissue box in the Flatbush. Wherever you go, they have exactly these tissue boxes.
It's
the cheapest, right. Absolutely. Goes without saying. All right. The first halacha over here is Mutalot says, just read the law because we're not going to have this next time. Mutalot says, Metalos, Mutsuyas, Gdech Malbush. Avla Makapal, we learned of the Rapashtra, and we'll continue breaking the Miltam, and the Yolanda will go out with a talus. That's the ultimate Malbush we discussed yesterday. There is no problem. Okay, before we go, let me just share with you some things that we left out, some shilas about carrying on Shabbos. Are you allowed to insert into your hat, people put in paper or napkins or cloth into your hat so it should fit better? Because you have your hat,
it's too big.
And it's too big, so you want to insert some tissue paper in that smutter. Exactly, even though it's right, exactly. It's tough to the hat and it's smutter. Okay, what about medications? Some people need to take medications, so they're allowed to take it shloi kederech. They put the medications in their clothing.
And
they put it shloi kederech. That is also mutter. What about loose? This is a very big problem. Loose buttons. Okay, let's take a step back. Wearing a tag. Let's say you have a shanis tag. It's partial shanis tag is mutter. It's tough to the garment. You have buttons. Extra buttons sewn into the garment, it's mutter. Anything that's sewn into the garment automatically becomes mutter. Even a price tag. Some unethical people, they go, they have an event. They go to an event, so they go to the store and they buy a nice dress. And then they go that night to the wedding. And the next morning they go back to Bloomingdale's and say it doesn't fit. So you went and you
had
a nice. So let's say a person.
The tail is sometimes stable.
So let's say you have a suit that has a price tag still attached. Are you allowed to go with the price tag still attached? So you'd be very embarrassed. So if it's exposed on the outside, you should not go out for one simple reason. You'll get embarrassed. You'll be embarrassed. You may come to remove it in the street, but if it's underneath, it's inside the garment, we cannot be seen, it's mutter, yeah. It's perfectly fine. Now the truth is, River writes that a price tag, you are allowed to detach on Shabbos. If you detach it in a destructible way, if you have a price tag that has a plastic ring, and you need to cut it, you're allowed to cut it. He says, you're even allowed to cut it with a scissors, a pair of scissors. You can take a pair of scissors, a kalish shemalach leli iser, and you can use it in a permissible way. A kalish shemalach leli iser is mutal tzachkuf amukamar. I'm doing something destructive. By cutting the plastic ring, which keeps the price tag in place, that is a destructive act, that is mutar. But, here's the chiddush, but if it's stapled in, you're not allowed to undo the staples. Undoing the staples is the opposite of teifer. Whatever you're not allowed to make a staple on Shabbos is the category of a soiser. It's teifer stitching. Anything that is the undoing of stitching is called soiser. So to cut a plastic ring is mutter, but to open up staples or to open up any type of stitching, which a label or
doesn't have to be almanas.
To do later on, it's still also midrabban. That's midrabban. Midrabban, it's still also to undo. To undo stitching, to undo a staple is also. To rip it off in a destructive way is mutter on Shabbos, and to cut a ring is mutter even with the scissors.
Right, but so if you want, you have a staple in a newspaper.
A staple, you cannot open the staple.
Right, but you can
rip the loop. Correct. That's destructive. Correct. If you buy a magazine and you want to read it on Shabbos and it's still in its plastic wrapper, you're allowed to destroy the plastic wrapper. You have a journal that comes in the mail that came before Shabbos. If it comes on Shabbos, that's already a problem of noilad. That's a problem of being nene from Shabbos. But if you have a journal in a plastic, you're allowed to rip open the plastic in a destructive way. It's not only true for food. We think that this halacha, you have plastic cups, plastic plates, and you want to open up, so you want to open it in a destructive way. It's true when it comes to even things that are not related to food. Okay, loose buttons. Let's say you have a loose button. What is the halacha? So this is very complicated. There are many different variations. First of all, you have to decide, is this loose button a button which is valuable? A shirt button, according to all poskim, has no value whatsoever. A regular shirt, unless you have some exotic shirt, I don't know if it has fancy buttons, but a regular shirt which has a regular white little simple buttons has absolutely no value. So if the button is very loose, as long as it's still attached, as long as it's still hanging on by a thread, it's attached. It's attached to the garment. What's the only concern? The concern is that you may be inclined, if it may fall off, you'll go in the street and look at that, the button fell off my shirt. It fell off, a casualty. So what are you going to do? It's a button. Now that button, I don't want it to go to waste. You'll bend down, you'll pick it up, put it in your pocket and carry it home with you. There is no concern you'll come to do that when you're dealing with a button that has no value, and that is certainly true for a shirt button, and according to many poskim, it's true for almost all suit buttons as well, because they're so readily available, they have no value. So if the button is loose, and the button has no value, and it's dangling, even though it's not functional, it's okay, as long as you can make an assessment that you're not going to come to pick it up on Shabbos, it falls off. On the other hand, if the button does have value, and there is a real concern that it may come to fall off, then you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos, because indeed it may fall off, and you can't, you have a nice dress, or a nice, some type of coat that has unique buttons, you can't replace them, and they're dangling, technically you're not doing anything wrong, because it's attached to the garment, but again, the concern is, it may fall off. I can't replace this button. I have to buy a new coat to get this button again. Then you're not allowed to wear on Shabbos because it may indeed come to fall, may come fall off. Well, yeah.
Shot in this Diane Avenue, Wolf Avenue M.
Yeah.
So I went and brought a suit. You know, they always nippled on the Shabbos label with a gun.
Yeah. Right.
So the guy puts it on. It's a sticker now.
Okay. It's fine.
That's fine.
As long as it's attached, it doesn't matter. As long as it's
glued on, it's glued. I mean, you know, like
as long as it can easily come off, its mutter. It's perfect. It's perfectly mutter. Okay. Some other quick things. What else did we discuss? Okay, just swings. Okay, this is not really wearing. You take your child to a swing on Shabbos. Go to the park where there's no Erev, an open field. You want to go on the swing. Why is that mutter? You're moving the object more than Dalet Amos. It doesn't matter. It's attached. It's attached to the top. Anything that's permanently attached is not, even though the thing may indeed be going more than 8 feet, but being that it's permanently attached, that's the derech like a door. There is no problem. And even though you're pushing the child is being pushed on the swing more than 8 amos, it's not considered being carried. He's still part. He's tuffel. He's anchored down to the seat, and the seat is attached by chains to the frame, and the frame is not going anywhere, so it's not considered to be taking a child in a park and pushing him on a swing. Same thing as tetherball. Anyone want to play tetherball? And you want to play ball, and the ball is attached to a pole. And even though the ball is going more than the Dalet Amos, it is permitted. There is no issue whatsoever. Okay, we did really almost all.
Doesn't the Mishnah have something where you have a key to the door?
We discussed that a couple of sifim back. All the rules of the key, with making it into a belt, the tie clip, and having the key as part of the belt. And even when you come to the location where you open the door, you have to be careful that the key doesn't. You don't open the. You leave the key in the door when you open the door, because you're still going from a rishus kamlis to a shayachin. We went through all those halachas inside. Okay, we did here. When I assume here, we did come out everything I have wrote down over the last 2 days. We discussed come out everything. One quick thing is wearing your jacket over your shoulders. People, yeshiva boys, do this very often. They don't put their hands into their sleeves. Are you allowed? What? Are you allowed to walk out with the jacket? So this is a big machlokes apayiskim. Some say yes, some say not. Some say it's derech malbush. That's how they wear it today. That's the derech malbush. It's acceptable. And some hold that no, it's not acceptable. It's like rolling up your pants. We learned yesterday, everyone agrees that you're not allowed, if you're going through a muddy area or wet area, and you want to roll up your pants all the way above your knees so that you're not get wet, that's asur l'chol hadeos. We discuss rolling up your sleeve, your shirt. So we discuss two opinions. B'derech klal, it's mutter. B'derech klal, rolling up your sleeves is not a problem. But rolling up pants is much more serious. The same issue is putting a jacket.
Only for dirt or for heat? Also?
Anything. If you're rolling up your pants for any reason whatsoever, that's not the way. Because the sleeve, we mentioned, you still want to have a long sleeve shirt. You still want a long, we discussed the halacha, that what would you be your preference? Would your preference to be wearing a short sleeve shirt, or is your preference to wear a long sleeve shirt? Some people, they only own long sleeve shirts. Even on the hottest day, they prefer to wear a long sleeve shirt that's rolled up than to wear a short sleeve shirt. If you are one of those people, then when you roll up your sleeves, it's like a hood. When you go outside wearing a raincoat and it's not raining and the hood is draping behind, it's a part of the garment. I only wear long sleeve shirts. It doesn't exist in my closet, a short sleeve shirt. So therefore, it's part of my garment. But if I own at home, half my shirts are short sleeve, half are long sleeve, today is not my lucky day. I put on the wrong shirt. I put on a long sleeve shirt and it's boiling hot. And I would prefer now to be wearing a short sleeve shirt than, according to some poskim, according to Rabbi Rivia, what he says in the Sefer, that's already you're not wearing what you really would want to be wearing. We have to now consider that guard, that excess of material that's been bunched up to be a masoy, a burden, no different than pulling up your pants, which Shulchan Aruch says clearly yasser, and it's forbidden. I remember just in passing and hearing Rabbi Kefet tell us that he remembers going to speak to Rabbi Aaron Kotler. It was him and his chaverim. It was on Shabbos in Lakewood, in the place where there was no Erev, and they were walking around without with the jackets over their shoulders, and Rav Aaron Kahlo did not say anything to them. There was no issue whatsoever. It was accepted in Lakewood. In Lakewood, it was accepted that the boys can walk around on Shabbos in a place where there's no Erev, with your jackets over your shoulder, without your hands in your sleeves. Today, is this still done? It's definitely done. You go out, you see Shibachim today, they all do it all the time. So it's considered pretty much to be Derech Levisha Bekach, and it's not a Masri. Some poskim are, I guess, the more proper, more dignified societies. You don't walk around like that, it would be considered to be a Masri. You would not be allowed to do that.
Well, how could you wear shorts?
Yeah.
Shorts, hair pants.
So you would be preferring what do you mean?
The same idea as the shorts.
Well, that's a problem. Even if you only own pants. Pants is more chamor than a shirt. Pants, under all conditions, starting point of pants are more chamor. Shirt, there's a heter that to roll up your sleeves, because that's the way you wear shirts. You have long sleeves, you roll them up. But pants, if you're wearing pants, it's not meant to be rolled up. If you decide to wear a pair of pants, it's not normal, it's not acceptable to take a pair of pants and roll them up. People, not a very significant part of the population, wears long sleeve shirts and they roll up their sleeves. That's Derech Levisha. Knickers, they don't roll them up, they are short.
No,
they're short lechatchila.
Into
the socks. That's Derech Levisha. That's how they wear it. That's the way they wear it, Derech Levisha. But no one lechatchila puts on a pair of pants so they should roll it up and tie it in place. That's not Derech Levisha. So that, according to all opinions, is also. All right, there are more things. B'li Neder, we will continue at another time.